LI News time right now is 8:06, and right now the focus on one of the great companies of Long Island. And it is part of a business spotlight segment on Long Island. I've been waiting for them a long time to make another appearance. It is always great for the visit and to catch up. And I'm talking about one of the great companies of yesteryear. You know, they started way back in 1968, if you can believe it. And I'm talking about the great East-West Industries. Heads of state here, the lovely Teresa Ferraro, brother Joe Spinoza, Dave Lange, 6 months on the job, and, of course, the great Mike. Last name again? Vetter?
Yep.
Like, how can I forget? Mr. Vetter is with us, one of the best engineers in the world, by the way, and the man who takes the greatest pictures as well. I need full name there.
Sal.
How can I forget Sal Ferraro? I'm only kidding. Listen, a lot of people will say Sal Ferraro, the better half. Who knows? But all I know is that these fine folks are in-house, and we say a very good morning and welcome to the Business Spotlight here.
Good morning, Jay. Thanks for having us here.
And congratulations, second grandchild.
Yes.
place.
Yeah. Keeping us busy.
And you know, that's how long it's been. Because like, when I was there, the first one was just born. Right? I remember like right around Christmas time or wherever
yep.
it was. Right?
Absolutely.
So it's great to have you. And everything, Joe, everything great. You know, you look fantastic.
Everything is good.
Yeah. Everything's going well.
My three sons are just kicking it in all different directions, so they're doing great.
Unbelievable. Michael, you know, I've heard so much about you and then the, you know, just the engineering status of it all with what you bring to the table. It's a good thing. Things going well with you over there? A little
yeah,
closer, my friend, to that mic.
Absolutely. There you go. Things are going great. Team's growing. Lots of programs going into production, so I'm always happy to hear that.
Yeah.
So.
You know, we talk about you guys all the time, every morning, you know, of how, you know, what a part of history you have contributed. And, you know, when you think of the military and, you know, we talk about rotorcraft and everything else, seat structures, oxygen systems, you know, that, Teresa, it's not an easy task. I want to go back a little bit just to kind of bring the folks up to speed. This is a family-owned and operated
Absolutely.
Business. You
yes.
guys have taken the baton into the 21st century, and you've run pretty well with it.
Absolutely.
Give me an idea of how the folks started it all way back. You know, this is a company. I mean, think about it. Late 60s.
Sure.
So how did
sure.
it all begin?
So our parents, Mary and Dom Spinoza, 1968, back in, you know, right on their dining room table, Wantagh, New York. They really had, our father was a degreed engineer. Mom had a banking and finance background. But what they really, truly were visionaries. They knew, always had that vision of making sure that those men and women, those war fighters, anyone protecting our freedom, made sure any products that we manufactured really were able to understand that, put the best quality product in that hands to make sure that that warfighter came home safely.
Wow, that's unbelievable. Joe, I mean, did Dad have some sort of, you know, epiphany as a young man to get into this business? I mean,
well, there is
how did Mr. Spinoza kind of, you know, get into play here with this?
Well, here's the story. Dad graduated from Brooklyn Poly in New York.
Right.
Got a job with Republic Aviation and was designing items and parts of the escape system for the F-105 Thunder Chief. Very successful aircraft. All successful ejections. He got to a point where he was a little bit of a different engineer. He wanted to do business development, and he saw opportunities out there to improve. His supervisors didn't let him off the drafting board.
Wow.
Said, stay put. And he said, look, I'm going to go. And at a point in time, he said, that's it. I'm history. He went off to another company, Rocket Jet Engineering. He did the business development and engineering for them on the east of the Mississippi region. Did like 70% of the business of the company. And mom at that time said, you're spending way too much time out on the road.
Right.
You know, you're doing it for somebody else. Why can't we do it ourselves? Mom with the financial background, dad with the engineering.
Now, did dad
business
serve
development.
At all? Did he serve at all? I mean, there, sometimes there was serve. Times of unrest.
Yeah, unfortunately, he was unable to serve.
Okay.
But his way of doing it was the engineering and being dedicated to the defense aerospace business.
Interesting.
So they kicked off the business in 1968.
Unbelievable.
On the table, and then got a little place in Belmore. Probably not much bigger than what the area we're sitting in at the studio, and just grew the business from there. Little connectors. They started with designing, having the locals manufacture them, and you know, working from there. Just looking at places that needed help and weren't getting the attention, and just pushed it all the way along to survival kits, emergency oxygen, seating systems. And with that, the company grew in size, making jumps from Belmore to Farmingdale, multiple locations,
right,
to Hopog, to Ronkonkoma, where we are today.
That is unbelievable. Now, Teresa, as a young lady, growing up, you saw what dad and mom were doing here. Was there ever a period of time? I mean, you kind of had a sense, you know, family-owned business here. I mean, when was the mindset, as far as you're concerned, that, you know, you wanted to kind of enter this business and maybe, who knows, make a career out of it? Was that an automatic for you way back? Did you have aspirations going into another avenue? What about that whole thing?
So our parents always said, there are three children in the family, follow your dreams, follow
right.
your passions. Never pushed anyone, but as children, we were always we grew up in the business. We didn't go to camp. We went to Camp East West. So during the summertime, you helped out whenever you could. So we always had a sense and a feeling of participating in the business. But we all went to college and, you know, did what we felt was going to be our passion. But one day after college, it was the early 80s, there were not a lot of jobs out there. And my father said to me, come in, I need some fillers in the office. I didn't know what a filler was, but he said, I'll pay you for the day. And that was great.
Hey, that's all it took, right?
That's all it took when you graduate college is a little green in the hand.
Yeah.
And what I didn't realize was that a pilot and co-pilot had recently ejected from an aircraft, and they wanted to come back to shake the hands of men and women that helped save their life, whether it was the receptionist that took the call or the technician that put something together or the inspector or the shipping clerk. That was a pivotal moment for me. That's when I realized that I wanted to be part of the vision that my parents had started. We entered, you know, it was the early 80s, and there wasn't a formalized HR department. So I loved people. I loved talking with people. Started developing a full, at that time it was called personnel department.
Yeah.
Formalized benefit plan, employee handbook, 401k, really to start developing that area. And started to grow from there and realized I learned so much about the business, but I wanted to learn more,
yeah.
getting involved with the government contracts end and the purchasing end and the production end, and grew from there.
Yeah.
And I love it. It just
that's unbelievable. And Joe, you know, listen, I've had the honor of taking the tour of your place. I mean, that's pretty cool. You know, you're growing up. I mean, it's important stuff, responsibility beyond. You know, when you see aircraft and seats and oxygen systems and escape hatches, and you know, I mean, this is big time stuff. You know, you're talking about lives, you're talking about military, you're talking about protection of our country and everything else. I mean, that had to fascinate you beyond belief as a little kid.
Well, obviously the thought of the products and what they do, as we term it in the company, our products are there to operate and bring this aviator back in the worst conditions, whether it's an ejection, he has to get out of the aircraft, or in rotorcraft, if it's a crash, our crash-worthy seats, smoke in the cockpit for flights, our oxygen systems, any of those are really the last line to get that aviator home safe. And we dedicate ourselves to making sure that product works first time, every time.
Yeah, it has to be. It really does. And, you know, kind of puts a little bit of pressure on this gentleman to my right, who is an engineer extraordinaire, Mr. Michael Vetter. And, you know, I tell you, I always remember Teresa and Joe speaking so highly of you, Mike. Hopefully today they do the same. Now, the thing is, how did you become such an expert in this field? Obviously, you went to school and everything else, but again, did you have that epiphany growing up that you wanted to kind of get into this whole thing?
Yeah, when I was about 6 years old, I remember playing Little League Baseball and looking up, and all I could do was look at the F-14s and E-2s that were flying over.
As the fly balls were hit over his head. This luckily, guy's looking at F-14s.
As far as I can remember, I never got hit with the ball.
Led the league in errors.
Exactly. So I realized that maybe baseball was my forte, but engineering might be. So actually, a lot of family members who worked at Grumman over the years and kind of grew up at their knee hearing all these great stories and knew I wanted to do aerospace. Went to college at Rutgers University, right pretty close by. And when I graduated, I came home and I applied to all these major, you know, the Grummans and the Boeings and the Lockheeds. And then I saw an ad for East West, and it was a local company. And I looked at the website and I saw ejection seats and helicopters. You know what? These guys sound pretty cool. So interviewed. Got the job. Actually, it was just 14 years ago.
Wow. 14 years.
Yeah. And, you know, one of the great things of working at a small company is you get to kind of get involved with everything. Like Teresa, you know, she made the HR department and did this, did that. You know, we were 45 people when I started. The engineering team was about 8 people. So you kind of have to learn very quickly, and you have to see that whole picture much quicker than maybe when you're in a larger team, you can do just your thing and get used to that. So, that accelerated learning that I worked on back then kind of paid off. You know, I very quickly realized that we do a lot. You know, a lot of times I deal with the aircraft and the users more than people that actually maybe design and build them do, because we're doing that last piece, that part that's touching the pilot, that's touching the operator. So we're very involved. I was just down in the base a few weeks ago. And so it's really exciting to me. It was as a young person, and you know, I don't eat oatmeal every morning, but I come in really energized every day. So I, you know, I really enjoy it. And, you know, and the company's really great. We get lots of experience to go to symposia and lectures and things like that to kind of grow the technical base. And then a lot of it's, you know, OJT, so to speak. You know, we have a really, really deep roster in the engineering office. I have guys that worked with Teresa and Joe's parents since almost the opening of the business. They're in their late 70s now. Guys that have been with us since the early 80s, and so there's a really great continuum of experience, and there's a lot of times that even I'll go, why do we do this, or why does this look like this, or can you explain this to me?
Yeah.
And they do a really great job, and so all the way down to the youngest guy. I have a young person who just graduated last year, right, so they're 22, 23 years old, and the process just continues.
Wow, it's unbelievable. It really is. Teresa, I tell you, 14 years this guy, I mean, how vital is Vetter? I like to say that five times fast. But, you know, by the way, the reference of Vetter making to oatmeal. That's my regimen in the morning. A bowl of HO oats, a multi-grain English muffin and a banana. But who cares about that? But basically, what does Vetter bring to the table?
Well, he brings a lot to the table. But I have to say, the entire team at East West, we all, if you walk through the office, you walk through the shop, everyone shares that same passion for what we do, and we understand it. So we value everybody. Everyone has an input that they have that's very vital. And as Mike said, when he started 14 years ago, we were 45 employees. We're 83 employees as of today.
Wow.
So we've had tremendous growth. But what we do is we make sure that a lot of that tribal knowledge, or as Joe calls them, the gray beards, are still there mentoring those that are here 14 years, 2 years, to help sustain that great base of employees to go forward.
It's unbelievable. And that beautiful new building that you guys moved into, what, 3 years? Is it 3 years?
A little over two years.
Yep. It's a gorgeous building as you head west on Vets, right?
Yes.
And, you know, we always tell folks, you know, because of that, right on Vets and Orville there, you know, they have increased the manufacturing capabilities. And also, you know, I like the fact that they're always looking to kind of add to the team, right?
Because
because of the building and everything else, you guys are, you know, the hiring process, right, Joe? I mean, it's expanded.
The team always has requirements. We always are looking for good folks to add to the team. I just have to believe we're talking about us. But again, the focus needs to be on mom and dad and the culture that they instilled with us.
Yeah.
The guiding tenet for East West is saving aircrew lives is our first concern. And we make sure that knowledge is passed all the way down through the ranks. I mean, from the folks in the engineering department, we make sure that they get a full appreciation for what they're doing. But also on the manufacturing side, on the inspection side, the shipping side, everybody understands that they're all part of that chain of survival for the aircrew.
Yeah, and that's why I always say you guys are like a hidden gem. You really are for all that you do and everything else. And the some of the relationships, Teresa, that you've had over the years, you know, Lockheed Martin, Grumman, right?
Yep.
All branches of the U.S. military,
Boeing,
right?
Bell, absolutely.
It's unbelievable.
We've diversified ourselves, so not only in product, but make sure that our success is supporting all of the primes and all of the DOD, and that is added to the success of East West.
That is unbelievable. Joe Spinoza is with us. Sal Ferraro taking pictures, doing a great job as always. Lovely Teresa with us, Mike Vetta with us, and newbie on the block, 6 months in, really kind of observing it all today, Mr. Dave Lang. In essence, what do we have to know? I mean, is there anything new now as far as the horizon is concerned? What would folks, Mr. Spinoza, what would they want to know going forward, this day out? What is new as far as what we don't know yet at East West?
Well, in terms of new programs that are out there, we're always looking out over the horizon. Obviously, as programs progress, they go from early stage to mature stage, and then you want to replace it with more programs to keep that basket full. We're working in all different areas. We've on the commercial side, we're expanding into the commercial side to diversify the company. We won the Bell 505 Jet Ranger X contract for VIP and utility seats. So that program, the Bell 505 Jet Ranger is replacing the most popular aircraft Bell sells in the world,
right?
The 407. So there, that'll be a program that'll be 25 years at East West. And I want to shout out too, besides our employees, our supply chain, our suppliers, the flow down through the economy on the island is just tremendous with that program, as well as other defense programs. In the rotorcraft area, there is a program called Future Vertical Lift, which is the Army's number one program, and there's two sub-programs in that. One, the armed reconnaissance aircraft, and the other, the future long-range assault aircraft. Those are programs that will replace the very famous Apache and the very famous Blackhawk.
Okay.
So we're talking thousands of aircraft.
Yeah.
And that will provide business to East West and Long Island for many years to come. So we're working on all those future programs to build them in as programs transition.
That's excellent. Teresa, you know, Joe brings up economy. Whenever I hear the word economy, what about that? I mean, how does it affect your great company, if at all? I mean, obviously, you're in another line of work as far as how other businesses kind of, you know, play out in and around. Explain the role of the economy and you know, pros and cons. How does it affect the business, if at all?
Right now, you know, the economy for us is good.
Yeah.
But East West itself, you know, our programs, they are long-term programs. When we're entering into something, it's a, you know, we're locked into that program for a long period of time. We've developed a product, gone through qualification. Now it's into production. So we make sure that we posture ourselves well enough that we understand what the future economy rises and, you know, dips we'll have in order to, you know, situate ourselves well. But
all in all, please, Joe.
Yeah.
Yeah, one of the aspects, and I'm going to say, while we're strong, we are affected by different aspects of the economy. As Teresa referred to, a lot of our contracts are long-term, fixed-price contracts. So when you do something that goes out, you know, 5 years, 7 years, you put together your set of assumptions going forward. In recent cases, you know, with the advent of the tariffs, while they don't have a direct effect on us, they have an indirect effect because they affect the supply market, and that changes pricing of raw materials.
Interesting.
It changes lead times to the
company.
So
that does affect you in a big way. What's going on right now, these wars that we see, the tariffs, which push back now to the 15th of December or so, but that still affects you guys.
Absolutely. And obviously it our team back at the office works extremely hard to make sure that we can work with our supply chain and get the things that we need to do our job, stay on time and on cost.
Mike, what about that aspect? I mean, you're watching a lot of this stuff that transpires. You know, listen, world events and everything else put aside, you guys still have an obligation and a job to do. And that's important stuff, right? Overseeing this stuff, you got a lot of tensions out there, we know. What about that aspect for you?
Well, it's definitely makes things interesting, you know, because the way our industry is very highly regulated and there's lots of testing required, lots of quality inspections. So you can't just change midstream. So we've been in a place the last 2 years where we were trying to either find new sources or see if we can get other suppliers qualified to make things that, you know, historically maybe would take 4 months or 6 months to get parts. Well, now it's a year. Well, guess what? Our customers are still building and delivering aircraft, and they're not going to wait for a seat.
Yeah.
They ultimately have to, but they don't want to hear that they're going to be affected by that. So we've had some fire drills where we've had to make phone calls and call in favors and arm twist and beg, borrow, and steal to keep the wheels turning. And it is a significant challenge because we don't have the ability to go and, you know, obviously, even if it was even cost factors aside, we're obliged as DoD suppliers to work with American material and everything in the first place. But now it's all these, you know, people that have always bought the cheap stuff now want to come and buy American, and the line's gotten very long.
Yeah.
So, and you know, when you're developing new products now that's become the thing we have to consider: is this material going to be available in a week, a month, a year? You know, we put out a program schedule, and all of a sudden you double the time it takes to make something. You can have a hard time meeting that schedule. So it's definitely been an extra stress on the on top of the engineering challenge, just to make sure you can get the parts.
Like
to,
you don't have enough stress already.
Yeah.
I tell you, it's crazy. And, you know, when we hear Joe and Teresa, when we hear the president state all the time, you know, as far as the military is concerned, he hasn't shirked one iota here. I mean, there has been some serious dollars. Mm-hmm. And it's good to hear serious dollars in the revamping of the equipment and everything else. I mean, Joe, I'll throw it at you first. I mean, do you get a sense of that this is kind of a revitalization, so to speak, as far as our U.S. military is concerned?
The president is dedicated.
Spot on,
I've seen
right?
by his actions and stuff. If you look at the presidential budget that went through. Unfortunately, you know, it has to go through Congress and get negotiated out. So the budget came in below what the request was. Obviously, there's a competition that occurs within all the different programs, land, air, sea, et cetera. So we're constantly in touch with our Long Island delegation and other folks to make sure that they understand the impact of the budget line items and what they have on the programs that we have on board and how that would affect the Long Island economy.
Wow.
So it's important to stay engaged with our Washington representatives and make sure that they maintain the budget levels for the particular programs. And we also obviously educate them to what the fallout is. The Chinook program is not just a military program.
Yeah.
It's for taking care of catastrophes within the U.S., natural catastrophes, floods, hurricanes, et cetera. You always see the Chinooks. You see Blackhawks out there doing their thing for forest fires. So
that's unbelievable.
Again,
it really
those,
is.
Those aircraft have been used tremendously and are in need of service. So we need to provide the parts and services that they need going forward.
Yeah, Teresa, the communication aspect is just immense. It is unreal, especially in your industry. I mean, you have to speak to the right people.
Absolutely.
In the right places, you know.
Absolutely.
And that means Washington, you know. It could be a Secretary of Defense, anything. His people and everything else, but it's vital that you keep those lines open. I mean, it has to be. Yeah.
I just want to say that, you know, hats off. I mean, our servicemen, the Army Aviation Support Facility and the National Guard guys out in West Hampton, they do tremendous work on aircraft that are ridden hard, put away wet, and they do the best they can with those aircraft. We have responsibility to make sure that they get the funding
right
to do the things that they have to do so they don't put themselves in jeopardy when they take these aircraft out and fly them.
Wow. So they really, I mean, you really have that responsibility to make sure when they have to get that call, I mean, it's up to you guys pretty much, right? I mean, you guys have to fortify them and everything, right, Teresa? Joe?
The entire, I'm going to call it the food chain, the supply chain. People don't realize Long Island is an aerospace center, and a tremendous amount of technology and parts are.
We forget that sometimes, yeah. You know? We really do, right, Teresa? I mean, we really do.
Absolutely.
We forget that.
There's a lot of, you know, as Joe had mentioned too, you know, the supply chain that's here. There is still a lot of industry still right here supporting the aerospace industry.
All righty. Now we're going to take a short break because we're going to probably have to close the door because we're getting ready for the 8:33 vacuuming here at MacArthur. Now, keep in mind, they do a wonderful job. Every speck of dust counts here, okay? You don't want to see it. When I walk out of here, God forbid, hell to pay if I see a cigarette butt, okay? So the vacuuming is going to start, which means we'll probably have to close the door. But that's
okay.
We'll make it nice and cozy in here, right, Sal? So in essence, all right, man, talking about one of the great companies of yesteryear and today, East West Industries, ladies and gentlemen, founded way back in 1968. How about that? And thriving, and so important. You know, we talk about everything, the design, the manufacture, support products, commercial fixed-wing, rotorcraft, aircraft. I mean, they have responsibilities beyond, and, you know, family-owned and operated. Think about this, 1968. That's a long time ago, 51 years. I mean, that's a long time ago. But Teresa and Joe, great team. Talk about the sister-brother team. Like no other, have taken the baton and have run with it pretty much. And we're so happy to have him here. Teresa Ferrara, Brother Joe Spinoza, Mr. Mike Vetter, engineer extraordinaire. Sal Ferrara does a wonderful job as far as, you know, everything he does, support and everything else. He's taking a lot of photos today. And Mr. Lang is with us. He's a new on the block, six-month anniversary, I believe, is today, if I'm not mistaken. Heard that right. And Mr. Lang is an observer today. And he's having the feeling that he will never be back in the studio again after today. So we thank all for that, and it's great to have these fine folks. And, you know, when I think of you guys, you know, I think of the veterans. You know, I think, Joe, of those who served. I think of, you know, all the dedication and everything else. And, you know, it kind of goes hand in hand for those, you know, that have accomplished. Well, for all that we do today or the freedoms that we have today, and I would imagine, you know, family-owned and operated and doing what you guys do to this day, I mean, you know, so much on the veterans and everything else. I mean, you guys must think about that every minute, every day, as far as the contributions and kind of propelling you. As far as getting into the future,
Absolutely. As far
as things, right?
We understand that, you know, those are the men and women that are using our products, touching our products, and we really understand that the transition from military life to civilian life at times can be very difficult, and what better to do outreach and find jobs for those individuals. So actually, you know, you mentioned David Lange right here. Well, retired
Colonel Lang Lange, I want to get it right.
Lange.
Okay. I think I hit it the first time, then it went back to Lang, and then all of a sudden, I don't know what I'm doing here.
Retired Colonel Lange. From the Air Force. You know, we understand our population. We have a great population of veterans at East West, but what we like to go beyond that. We want to go to outreach to those, whether it's job fairs, whether it's working closely with our veteran associations to make sure that they understand who we are and what we can provide. And more than anything else, those veterans come back, and when they're working side by side with those other employees that have not served in the military, they really let them understand how critical the products are that they're working on.
Yeah, and retired colonel, you said, in the Air Force, right, Mr. Lange? And Colonel, I was so grateful for your service. And I know you don't have a mic in front of you, but I will say this. You know, this is the type of personnel that East West, you know, is lucky to have. I mean, you know, you talk Joe, right? You get a guy like Colonel Lange there, and, you know, you can't go wrong because he has the experience and everything else. It's incredible.
I don't know if people know it. Long Island has one of the highest populations of veterans in the nation.
And Suffolk County
and
leads
Suffolk
the
County
way,
leads
you know,
it.
You're talking,
Absolutely.
Right, Colonel? I mean, you know, 120,000, 130,000, you know, veterans. You know, Joe, it's a lot, you know? And
well, we
and you're providing. Yeah, you have stepped up. You provide a pretty good service there.
And we provide jobs to veterans. Our population of veterans at East West exceeds the percentages that you see in Suffolk County. So we're doing our job. Obviously, we hope the rest of the businesses around do that as well.
No question. Mike, what about that aspect? You know, as far as somebody in your position, then you have somebody who's, you know, been right there as the colonel has been. I mean, that's vital information. I can't even imagine, you know, the experience coupled with your wealth of knowledge. I mean, that is a win-win combination.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. It touches a lot of different points at the company. You know, I actually have a few, one retired Navy service member and one who's actually a reservist who actually left a really great job because he wanted his civilian life and his profession, you know, his military career to have the same flavor. So he came to the defense industry because he wanted to have that experience both in his civilian life and his military service. So that's phenomenal. It brings a really great depth of experience. It also brings that the relevance, right? So they can kind of put it all in a picture together. And then out in the shop floor where there's, you know, our veteran and reservist populations higher, you know, it's a win-win for both sides. East West, you know, the military trains their people phenomenally well. You know, it's one of the things people forget is, you know, when you join, you're really getting a phenomenal service and training. So we're using that service. We're also using that, again, it matters to them, right? It's their brothers that are going up and flying and using these products. We have a lot of guys in the oxygen lab, especially, that worked in this when they served. Now they come home. Now they're building the products. They take it very seriously. And that, you know, there's a – it's hard to put a price on that. It's hard to get people to – you know, you can't buy that, so to speak. So I know when I put blueprints and drawings out on the floor that those guys will do the best job to build the best product possible. And if there's any issues, they take it very personally, make sure that we get them fixed as soon as possible.
I can't even imagine the back and forth in a board meeting here. You know, here you have the resident genius, and I say that respectively, of somebody who, you know, who's better than Mr. Vetter here. And then you have an individual like Colonel Lange, who, you know, might have to tweak a couple of the Vetter algorithms. You know, I can't, Joe, I can't even imagine the back and forth in a boardroom of that nature.
Oh, all of this never happens.
And then I have to keep them all under control.
I think I'm hitting it on the head here. We're here with the fine folks, the fine folks of East West Industry. So, in essence, what are we looking at? What does the future hold here, Teresa? What are we looking at as far as East West? Another 51 years without question.
Absolutely. I'll be a little old by then. Well, but you know. But
the,
there's some...
The two granddaughters hopefully will get into this thing, right?
Absolutely. Woman-owned small business.
But really, it's a, you know, the future really is has to be somewhat bright here as far as what it holds, right?
Absolutely. There are some fantastic programs that, you know, I'd love for Mike and Joe to talk about.
All right.
That's the future. That's really, you know, that's the future of where we're going right now. Very good future. As Joe said, we make sure that we, you know, we stay close to our local state officials to make sure that we understand how important those programs are to stay on budget, in budget.
That's important stuff. Yeah. You, Joe, right? Congressman Lee Zeldin served, and certainly, you know, he is a great sounding board, I would think, right?
The entire Long Island delegation, I mean, they all pull in the same direction.
Big King.
We just need to stay out there and keep them apprised of the, you know, because they see so much different stuff.
Yeah.
Apprised of the different programs and what the flow-down effects are through the Long Island economy.
But good programs, solid programs in place?
Good solid programs. If you look at the list of our current programs, we have the top Navy program, E-2D. We have the top Air Force program, Combat Rescue Helicopter. And the list continues on, Chinook, et cetera. The Enhanced Emergency Oxygen System for the Navy and the Marine Corps. The 53K Super Stallion for Sikorsky and the Marines. So all those programs are top programs. But we're also looking long-term. In terms of new type programs, we're working with some of the airframe suppliers on what's emerging as the what's called the urban air taxi, the Uber. It's not a helicopter, but a vertical takeoff aircraft that will fly people in and perhaps in the future without a pilot, autonomously
from
point A into the airport. So the commute to the airport, instead of it being an hour, becomes, you know, 10, 15 minutes.
Yeah, it's amazing. Mike, good programs in place. You know, it's amazing to me, you know, we live in such a volatile world right now. You know, you look at a guy firing off missiles on the other side of the planet every other day. You know, you look at seizing of oil tankers and threats. And, you know, we've got nuclear weaponry out there that can have sheer annihilation. I mean, the responsibility, you know, it's almost like, you know, listen, people know America as being ahead of the curve. And, you know, you want to kind of keep in that. That's a very important aspect, I think, you know, as far as being on top of our game, absolutely, you know, usurping our enemies as far as knowledge. I mean, how important, how prolific is that statement, you know, to kind of make sure you are a step or two ahead as those who want to do harm to us, right?
Well, that and that's kind of what Joe touched on with, the, you know, the budget overall, right? So there's the future priorities and there's the kind of restabilizing. You know, we've been in a state of war since 2001, and we've had aircraft that are flying 2, 3, and 4 times as much as they were ever designed to. So we're working in some programs, like Joe said, EEOS, which is a program we're doing for the Navy. They have aircraft that they're having, the pilots having problems getting oxygen, and they're getting sick while they're flying.
Not our oxygen.
Not our oxygen. Thank you, Joe. The aircraft are old. They don't know what's causing it. It's an aircraft system-related issue.
Yeah.
So what's been happening is they've been using our system as their life raft, so to speak, to get back home. We can imagine if you're over Syria, you don't want to have to bail out because you're out of oxygen, right? So we're, this system is now going to give the guys triple the supply of oxygen, make sure they can get home safely. So that's kind of the protecting the current fleet, giving the current fleet a lot more capability without impacting any performance. We're working on programs like combat rescue helicopter with Sikorsky. You know, the guys out in West Hampton fly an aircraft that's 20 years old and is about already 20% past its expected service life. And they do an incredibly important and dangerous mission.
Yeah. This is fascinating, by the way, to me. Because you kind of get a first-hand feel here, ladies and gentlemen, behind the scenes, you know? And Mike Vetter is talking about triple oxygen tanks. You know, that in case something happens, you know, I mean, there's backup. And that's amazing. And that was my next thing to ask. These new technologies that are coming into play. I mean, it's vital, right, to keep this in mind.
Well, that's the thing. So manufacturing is ever changing, right? So, you know, today we use 3D printing and conceptualizing parts. We use it in sometimes direct manufacture. We're using new material metal alloys to reduce weight. We're using composites to reduce weight. You know, the military is, ironically, as much as like a lot of the whiz-bang technology on the overall aircraft, a lot of times they become very risk-averse. So it's trying to figure out how to put in, you know, game-changing technology or significant advantage technology without breaking the bank, blowing up the budget, scaring everybody away. So that's a continuous challenge. You know, we've really invested in the equipment in the shop, you know, developed new relationships with new suppliers, even universities, to try to make sure that we're always pushing the curve a little bit in every program. Sometimes it's very small, very boring things. Sometimes it's big leap ahead stuff. So we have a couple programs in with the Army to look at what would a seat look like in 10, 15 years when you have guys that weigh 350 pounds, maybe because they're wearing exosuits. Yeah. So wearing, you know, armor, you know, full body armor and things like that. So really cool.
That is cool stuff. I mean, Washington has to come and visit, right? You have to have high-end members that would, I would think, come out to East West here on Long Island and kind of take the tour and kind of want to oversee some of these nuances involved, Joe.
They do. They come to visit us, the congressional delegations and our local delegations as well, come to visit us, and some of them even send the proclamations that we put proudly up on our walls.
How about that? That is great stuff. Now, we always talk about the hiring process, Teresa Ferrara. I mean, you know, I don't know if you can get other Mike Vetters out there or Colonel Dave Lanches out there. But how important, and that we stress this every, how important is the hiring process? Because you got 83, you were at what, 47 way back, right?
Right.
It's not like, you know, you sign up and everything. There's a vetting process.
Absolutely.
No pun intended to Mr. Vetter here, but in essence, it's important you get the right people in the right place here.
Absolutely. And we, you know, we do a lot of outreach, and we do, you know, as I mentioned, with the veterans, but we also work very closely with a lot of the local colleges and even high schools. First of all, letting those middle school, letting those high schools really understand what manufacturing really is. Because if you look at that age group and you look at the administrators, do they really understand what manufacturing is? So we really embrace them to bring the students in, do a tour of the facility, open their eyes to see, you know, they use STEM or now STEAM in the school all the time, but what is that? Let them come in, let them touch, feel, speak with some of Mike's engineers, go onto the shop floor, speak to the inspectors or the assemblers or the machinists, and really understand that there's great job opportunities. And then really working closely with a lot of the local colleges and universities. There are programs that we have worked very closely with formulating a curriculum of what are manufacturers really looking for in machining programs, not machining programs from 10, 15, 20 years ago, but as Mike said, you know, we're into CNC machines now. Let's find those programs. Let's help with the administrators write a curriculum that is, when they come out of the program, there's jobs waiting for them.
Yeah, it's important stuff because we talk about it all the time. You know, there are jobs, you know, in this type of field. You know, you would think, well, long out. But you know what? It is what it is. And the fact of the matter is, folks, if you have this, if this has been in your curriculum and you're wondering, you know, we tell you all the time, check it out on the website, eastwestindustries.com. Joseph?
Yes, I just want to say I'm a follower of Mike Rowe from Dirty Jobs. But what he's really about, he has a foundation that identifies, number one, we're kind of missing a little bit of our responsibility. We're pushing all our kids towards college.
Yeah.
And about half of them don't get jobs that are related
to what
they're doing.
That is
and
so true.
You know, they're not in work, and they've got a tremendous, they're saddled with a tremendous debt.
It really is.
What we try and do is educate not only are their jobs at the college level, but also at the two-year level or, you know, the trade school level. So we work with, like, Suffolk Community College and Stony Brook to develop those folks to get them in, and also at the high school level to show folks that there's so many different positions to be played in the manufacturing team. From the shop floor of assemblers and inspectors, all the way through the support side of stuff, our expediters, supply chain, et cetera.
So boy, you hit it on the head.
Great jobs, great environment.
Yeah, you guys hit it on the head. I mean, boy, where did I go wrong? My daughter majored in underwater basket weaving. No wonder she's having trouble finding that right occupation, Colonel Lange, I tell you. Now, important stuff on the calendar. September 4th is a big day. I've circled it.
Good.
And I'll tell you, I met these fine folks at a barbecue, what, 3-4 years ago now?
Probably 4 years ago.
4 years ago. Mm-hmm. The best hamburgers were cooked that day. I'll never forget it. And these fine folks were right on 13th Avenue?
13th Avenue.
Yep.
I'll never forget it. Hot dogs beyond, potato chips, anything you wanted, they had it. But that's going to be a nice day, Joe.
So just think about it, Jay.
Yeah.
When you visited us, that facility, the new facility we moved into, we increased our footprint by 2 times, twice the size of where we were 2 years.
That's unbelievable.
It's a lot.
Wow. And, you know, that's growth.
A lot of it flows down to the economy. Our supply chain is like 1,200 folks. So, you know, it really pushes stuff.
That is amazing, amazing stuff. I don't know what to say, but this hour has pretty much flown by.
Absolutely.
You get it? Flown by, East West. Listen to me. Here's the thing. You guys are so important to Long Island. Just keep up the good work and to another 51 years.
Well, thank you. Thank
Jay,
you.
Jay, we appreciate it. We just want to say we're just an example of what Long Island is about. And if it wasn't for folks like you, the word wouldn't get out.
Oh, shucks.
And, Jay, I forgot to mention, too, today's Mike's birthday. You're going to sing him happy birthday on air?
Pressure's on. Amanda, can I get a little accompanying music of happy birthday? Here we go. You want to hear a couple hundred thousand radios turn off right now? Happy birthday. Happy birthday, Mike Vetter. Yeah, I tell you, you have never looked better at 26.
I'm amazing. Making it work.
Amazing. Look, guys, I can't thank you. And I really
Jay, we
happy and healthy
it.
One and tremendous stuff. The lovely Teresa Ferraro, brother Joe Spinoza, Sal Ferraro, Colonel David Lange.
Yay!
Air Force Colonel in his day extraordinaire. And the great Michael Vetter, who does it all over there. Can't thank you guys enough. And, you know, I always say to you, don't be a stranger. Okay?
Absolutely.
Please. Joseph?
I just want to say, again, to our East-West team, thank you so much. And to our supply chain, you folks are critical members. Thank you.
And thank you all.